world's becoming a dangerous place for us women. Lipstick Bodyguard looks just like an innocent little lipstick, but it'll instantly drop any attacker to his knees so you can get away unharmed. Lipstick Bodyguard, fear no evil. Get yours today, only at lipstickbodyguard.com.
Children have unique health needs, but so do the elderly. This week on Parents Are Hard to Raise, Diane reveals why your GP might not be the best doctor for your aging parents, and what you must know before shopping for a new doctor.
Welcome to Parents Are Hard to Raise, helping families grow older together without losing their minds. I'm elder care expert Diane Berardi. So this week I wanted to talk to you about geriatricians. I spoke with a client the other day and she was really struggling with her mother. Her mother's in her 70s and she has high blood pressure, asthma, osteoporosis, and she has a family doctor who she's been going to for years, and he treats her with a medication for each of those illnesses. And her mother started getting depressed and confused and losing her balance and dizzy, so she took her to the doctor again, and he gave her another medication for the dizziness. And she brought her home and she said, but she's still not getting better. I don't know what the heck to do. So what I suggested to her was to take her to a geriatrician. A geriatrician is a physician who's an expert in the care of older people. When you had children, you took them to a pediatrician. And people don't realize, but there are geriatricians. And they're really an important part of caring for your parents, because they look at all aspects that affect an older person. They look at the whole person, not just the symptom, not just, treating a disease. There's only probably about 7,000 geriatricians in the United States. They're not as popular as every other specialty. But what they are usually internists or family medical doctors who spend another year studying the elderly. They work with your parent specialists. They control the team. They are the hub, and they control everything, which is good because, like I said, a lot of older people go to, 15 different doctors. So you need one person to be coordinating everything and controlling everything. A geriatrician understands how the older person's mind works, how their body works, how their lives are different from other age groups. So they pay attention to every detail, not just the physical. They look at the social. They look at the psychological. They look at the mental, nutritional. They look at everything. Most physicians are trained to cure the ailments. A geriatrician isn't trained to cure old age. They're trained to help the elderly person live better and make decisions based on the whole person. An older person typically has multiple health issues and they're on multiple medications. So this doctor is going to coordinate everything. We don't realize that an older person, their body metabolizes and eliminates medications differently and less efficiently than a younger person. So drugs may build up. They might have unique side effects from drugs. They may have drug interactions. They take over-the-counter medications. So all these things can cause memory glitches. They can cause dizziness. They can cause side effects that a regular physician may say, oh, they have, Alzheimer's, a form of dementia. So a geriatrician looks at everything. They specialize in that older person. They care about that older person. And geriatricians focus on what the medical community calls geriatric syndromes. And what they are is because the elderly usually have more than they have a problem that usually has more than one cause, and it involves many parts of the body. Sometimes it's neglected by the primary care physician. You know, they have falls. They have bladder control problems. They have memory problems, osteoporosis, sleep problems, weight loss. And a big one is a term coined by the medical community, polypharmacy, where they go to different doctors who are prescribing different medications. They go to different pharmacies. They get over-the-counter medications. They don't take the proper doses of medication. You have a lot of people, sometimes they're running out of medication and they just decide, oh, I'll cut that in half. Or they borrow medication from someone. Or they mix alcohol with medication. So these are all conditions that gerontologists focus on. When you take your parent to a gerontologist, you want to be prepared for two long visits because they do an extensive history on not just the physical, but as I mentioned before, the psychological, the mental. They look at their perception, their memory, their reasoning, their judgment, and the social. They look at how do they get along in their environment? Do they have a support system? Are they out in the community? Are they doing things outside the home? And what do they want? How do they see their future? On the second visit, after, you know, digesting all of this, they work up a care plan and they go over that with you and they see, is that something the person wants? Is that something that can be followed? Is that something that the person is going to be happy with and that you're going to be happy with? How do you find a geriatrician? You can go on AmericanGeriatrics.org. You can go on their website and look in your state where to find a geriatrician. You can also see in your area if there's a medical school that has a department of geriatrics. And if they do, you can ask them, you know, to recommend a geriatrician.
And now I want to talk to you about something a little different.
In older generations, you know, more traditional roles, where like my father's generation, you know, he's in his 80s. If the male is taking care of a female, they have a different stressors. They have different kind of caregiver stress than females do. For men, what hurts them is they are less socially prepared to deal with the caregiving role because they're not used to being a caregiver. They're not used to being nurturing. And of course, I am talking about the, you know, things have changed with younger generations. This is with the older generations, with your fathers. They typically don't have any background in, you know, feeding or bathing or keeping a household, cleaning, laundry, cooking, and on top of that, caregiving. That's a big stress level for a male. It's also a big stress level being inexperienced because the inexperience causes the stress. They're conditioned to see themselves as experts. You know, that's what they do. They fix things. And in caregiving, they're not an expert, so that adds stress to them. They're definitely less likely to ask for help. You know, when you drive in a car with a man and you get lost and you say, stop at that gas station. Of course, now you have GPS, but years ago you say, stop at that gas station, get directions. Oh, no, I'll find it. You know, men, they're not going to ask for help. And typically, I think it's getting a little bit better today, but you see brochures and it's always, you know, the woman helping. So they don't think of themselves as caregiver or in that role, or this is a weakened state for them because they're helping, they're doing this. They usually don't talk about their feelings. They block their emotions. You know, especially men in that generation, you have to be a man, you know, and they don't vent. offload stress. They don't talk about their frustration, their worries, where women will talk about it. Oh my God, you know, what happened today with my mother? Women just naturally will talk about it. Men don't. And if they're in a caregiving role, they don't tend to take care of themselves. You know, anyone in a caregiving role, they typically are taking care of the person. They let themselves go. But men do that more, and they're already, you know, at a risk for more heart attacks or strokes than before having the stress. So that's a male-female issue with being a caregiver, the problems men have. What does help them in being a man is because they're seen kind of as a novelty, they're a male caregiver, family and friends are likely to see them and give them more help and give them more feedback that helps them. So then they feel, oh, okay, you know, I am doing this right. Because men want to fix things, you've heard that where, you know, a woman just wants a vent. She just wants to talk. She doesn't want the man to fix anything. She just wants to tell him what she's feeling. Well, men try always to fix things. So they see caregiving as a problem to be solved. So they look at the tasks and they do it and they figure it out. And so they're not bogged down with the fear or frustration as much. Men are more likely to hire out to do the personal care of a person because they don't want to do that. They don't know how to do that. They don't feel comfortable in that role. So they'll drive, you know, they'll drive, they'll do financial things. They'll do the traditional role things. And because they're doing less hands-on care, that can be less stressful. And because men look at the caregiving as a job, they look at tasks to be done. So they don't look at caregiving as something that has changed their life or completely taken it over, where, you know, we as females look at it differently. I have a client who, his wife has Alzheimer's, and he was an ad executive in his career, and his son finally got him to call, you know, to get some help because when he called me, he kept saying, well, I can do it. I can do it. I can do everything. I can do it. And his wife, you know, has Alzheimer's. She doesn't speak and she just walks. She paces constantly. And she does not allow him to do any of her personal care. He tried, but she won't allow him to do it. And she won't, you know, because he is so stressed about having to try to do it. And she can sense that. And he's trying to, you know, do it as quickly and not realizing it, probably as aggressively as he can, just to be able to change her. And so, you know, I finally got him to get some help. And initially he had to be there while the help was there, you know, and now he's at the point where he can, you know, take a break and he can get out and he can do things he needs to do and just take a mental break. And I finally got him to that point where he, you know, he realized, yeah, I do need a break because I'm dealing with this, you know, for so long, so many hours each day. And I really, I need help. I need help for myself. And his son, you know, who lives in another state and isn't able to visit all the time, could hear it, you know, when he talked to him and would say, he can't, you know, he can't keep doing it. He does need the help. But he was so resistant to it because he was the man and he needed to take care of her and he could do it. He could do everything. I could cook, I could clean, you know, but he couldn't, you know, he couldn't deal with having to care for his wife and having to change her. And, you know, he would say, oh my gosh, you know, the caregiver, she knows she lets her change her and she can bathe her. I couldn't, she doesn't let me near her. She runs when she sees me coming. And he doesn't realize, well, there's certain things you have to do. And he's so emotionally attached and so scared and so stressed, and the stress just makes him so wired, and she can sense it, and he just wants to hurry up and get it done, that it's not going to work. But it's a perfect example of a male. He thinks he could do everything. Well, you know, I can do that. I could cook, I can clean, I can shop, I can take care of her. But, you know, you come to realize you can't do it all, and you shouldn't. It's good to get help, for not only for that person, but for you, for the caregiver, for the child, for the husband, for the wife, for the son, for the daughter. You want to always maintain that relationship with your parent or your spouse. You want to be the wife, you want to be the husband, you want to be the child. And you can do certain things for them. Sure, you can go, you know, shopping or, you know, cook them a meal, but you want to have that bond. You want to keep that bond that you've always had. And in his case, you know, she has Alzheimer's, let someone else change her and do the bathing and be the caregiver for her physical needs. Let someone else, you know, walk her. He couldn't take her for a walk because she would break away from him. But, you know, the professional can do that and knows what to do and knows how to bathe her, how to, you know, keep her in the bathroom, how to close the door, how to be calm. You know, when an Alzheimer's patient starts fidgeting or you know, resisting, you just, you know, you kind of back away and you're calm. You don't put her in the shower and have her face the water. They're very frightened of water. Water just freaks them out. So there's certain things, but you know, as a spouse or a child with that emotional bond, you're going to have that emotion. There's no way to hide it, and there's no way for that person to sense it. So let professionals do their job. Let people help. Ask for help. Call. Write. Contact me. I'm here to help you. I'm here to help you in whatever you need help with.
She's always been there for you. She taught you how to ride a bike, tie your shoes, make your bed, blow your nose. She nursed you through the chicken pox and that nasty stomach flu. She was there on your first day of kindergarten, just out of sight, peeking through the window, her heart breaking just a little. You were growing up so fast. She knew just what to do to make it all better when you skinned your knee, came home with bubblegum in your hair, and got your heart broken for the very first time. Now, she needs you, and you have no idea how to help. You're not alone. Since 1982, we've been helping people just like you find answers to the problems you're facing right at this moment. Life is so much more complex than it was when we were kids. The stresses you and I face today are greater than they ever were for our parents when they were our age. We're pulled in so many directions at once. There never seems to be enough hours in the day. And no matter how much you do or where you turn, it still feels like you're letting someone down. These are the kinds of problems that can tear families apart. The good news is, you're in the right place. There are solutions, and we'll help you find them. We are the men and women of MedX Home Care. And for over 35 years, we've been helping families just like yours grow older together.
MedX is a great organization. I've been working with them for over 30 years. So if you're in New Jersey and you need home care for your parents, you can find out more about MedX Home Care at MedXHomeCare.com. Loneliness is a really important thing to talk about in the elderly, because we always look at, you know, the physical or the mental, financial, all those aspects, but a big aspect that we forget to look at is social. The socialization is a big important part that older people, any person needs. You know, what happens to an older person if they're living in their home and their spouse dies, their circle of friends shrank. You know, they used to go out or meet, you know, play cards, do whatever as a couple. And now they're alone. And so they don't see as many friends. Friends start to move away. Friends get sick and die. And they start to just stay in and don't do anything, and they're isolated, and they just get into a deep depression, and that's when things start to happen. Sometimes people have, you know, and they have family or friends, or they have people around them, but they can still feel lonely because their spouse, you know, is gone, or their best friend is gone. So socialization is a really important part of taking care of the elderly. In their own home, you can get help in the home. That person coming in, when people, I find, are resistant to someone coming into their home, I don't want someone in my home. But if it's the right person coming into your home, that elderly person develops a bond with that person, and they look forward to that person coming in. And that is part of socialization. And that caregiver can take them to church. They can take them out to lunch. They can go to the movies. They can do things to get that person active again, both physically, mentally, and socially. The need that the elderly have had their entire lives, people who knew them, value them, brought them joy, that never goes away. They still need people in their lives. Loneliness brings, problems. Studies show that there's an association between loneliness and higher blood pressure, with nursing home admissions, risky health behaviors like inactivity, smoking, and even with dementia. Researchers have also said that people who are lonely are more likely to have difficulty with their normal everyday activities, you know, getting dressed, bathing, cooking for themselves. If they're lonely, they're by themselves, people tend not to cook. They tend not to eat. They just sit and stare at the television. So socialization is a big part of an elderly person's well-being. Whether you bring someone into the home, whether you take them out of the home, that's what adult daycare is part about, you know, taking people out, socializing them. They're with other people. The assisted livings, people move their parents or the parent into an assisted living so that they go downstairs for all their meals. They have, you know, book clubs, reading clubs. If they live in their own home, a caregiver to come in and then take them out, take them to the movies, take them to a book club, take them out to lunch. So there's all different ways to get around socialization, and that's a huge part of the well-being of an elderly person. I mentioned earlier geriatricians focus on geriatric syndromes, and I just wanted to touch on a few. I promise I'll go into more of them in more detail in later shows. But for instance, bladder control problems. Elderly people have urinary problems that you may not be aware of. Your parent may have a problem and you may not be aware of it. And what happens is if they have to rush to the bathroom, if they have urinary incontinence, they may rush to the bathroom and cause a fall. You don't realize one can lead to another. It can also lead to depression because they're like, oh my gosh, I can't go anywhere. It leads to isolation. That could be a reason they don't want to go anywhere and they are depressed. They sit and they don't want to leave home. That's a real problem. And urinary incontinence there's so many treatments, there's so many advances in what you can do. But if you don't realize that maybe your mom, you know, is having a problem, you don't know how to help her. They don't want to talk about it. It's embarrassing. They think they're the only ones. You know, they get up and they dribble. It happens. So what you can do is, when you're visiting, if you notice that you smell an odor, you see you see the spot where they sat is wet, or they're running back and forth to the bathroom, or they don't want to go anywhere. You know, they don't want to go out to lunch, or they don't want to go to a movie. They don't want to go visit a friend. They're embarrassed, and they don't realize that there's different ways that they can be helped. And that's when I brought up, you know, I talked to you about the geriatrician. That's a great reason to go to this special doctor, and he or she can help you and talk to you. There are so many treatments for instance, for bladder control problems. And if you notice that your parent is having a problem, if you notice a wet spot on the chair, or you smell urine, or you notice in the, you know, bathroom they're changing their clothes, or there's a lot of laundry, a lot of underwear, or they're running to the bathroom a lot, you can, there's a way to bring it up to them. You know, you as an adult can tell them, you know, you've gone to a doctor because you have a problem, you have an overactive bladder, whatever. You can use that as an example, or you can tell them it's a, you know, it's a very common problem. It's a very common problem in the elderly population. It could be caused by a medication they're on. There could be a number of reasons for it, and it's treatable. Sleep problems. A lot of times, if a person is alone, their nights turn into days, and their days turn into nights, and they sit, and they just, you know, do you remember, if you're ever bored, you sit and you happen to fall asleep, and they fall asleep during the day, and they're up all night. So being up all night, or not getting enough sleep, not getting enough rest, upsets their whole entire circadian rhythm, and it can cause other problems. My grandfather used to sit and fall asleep during the day, and then he would always complain, I can't sleep at night. And my father would say to him, well, that's because you're sleeping all day. And my 88-year-old father does the same thing now. He could be just sitting there talking to you at the table, and he falls asleep right in the middle of a conversation. And he doesn't even know he's doing it, because then he suddenly wakes up, you know. And we took him to a doctor, and he has sleep apnea. So there could be any number of reasons why these things happen. Any of these geriatric syndromes, they're solutions. And once you know that there's a problem, you can fix it. Delirium. If you notice, if your parent went to the emergency room, or if they've been hospitalized for any period of time, you notice that they get confused. They do. That you're like, I went to visit my mother and she's confused. What happened? Well, they do. They get confused on where they are. And what's a good idea if they are in a hospital to bring them familiar things from home, and to constantly be reminding them of stories and different things from home. Dementia. Dementia is a memory problem, in simple terms. So one of the most common dementias is Alzheimer's disease. But different tests can help determine whether someone has dementia or what type of dementia. It's a simple thing. If we all start to forget, you do start to forget just certain things, you know, as you get older. So if your mother just forgets something little, don't think she suddenly has some form of dementia. That's why she needs to see her geriatrician. Falls. We touched on falls. Falls are a leading cause of serious illness in older people, and there's so many risk factors for falls. We said medications, medication side effects, dizziness, arthritis, hazards in the home, hazards outside the home, not eating properly, dehydration, weight loss. Weight loss, same thing. If a person's isolated and alone, they don't feel like cooking for themselves. They don't want to eat by themselves. As a person gets older, their sense of taste diminishes. So, you know, what can we do about that? They need company to eat. They need enticing food. They need to be socialized while they're eating. That's what we were meant to do and meant to be. Well, that's all we have for this week. Now, I look forward to meeting again next week. And you can find helpful links to topics we talked about on today's show in the show notes for today's episode at parentsareharttoraise.org. Please tell a friend if you got something from this show. Subscribe to the show using iTunes. That helps others like us find out about the show. I want to help you in any way I can, so if there are topics or things that you're struggling with, please write to me and I'll include them in future shows. You can reach me through my website, DianeBerardi.com. That's Diane with one N, B-E-R-A-R-D-I. You can follow me on Facebook at Parents Are Hard to Raise, and I tweet at Jersey Elder Care. Parents Are Hard to Raise is a Counterthink Media production. The music used in this broadcast was managed by Cosmo Music LLC, New York, New York, under license of Broadcast Music Incorporated. Thanks so much for listening. See you again next week.